Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey, all right, glad we connected.
Awesome. Give me 1 second. Let me put some headphones on so you don't hear yourself.
Okay.
If I have any headphones. Excuse these. Sorry for the delay. I haven't used Skype in forever.
No problem.
Let's see.
Because I can hear you okay, so if you're stuck, like, we're good.
Oh, okay. Well, that works then.
Okay.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you? So.
Not bad.
All right. So, hey, if you have any questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, let's just get started.
Cool. All
right. Cool. So, all right, let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was, like, spring or fall, and your major.
I graduated in 2010, and I was a synth major, or I was at Berkeley long enough that my major changed names, so EPD at
right.
that point.
Right. The spring of 2010?
Yes.
Cool. And what was your primary instrument?
I played alto saxophone.
Very nice. Okay, so, hey, we'll get to your history later, but for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Yeah, so technically I have two jobs. So the main and daytime job is I work at Squarespace. They're a website building platform, kind of like Wix or WordPress, and I'm a team lead at Squarespace. So that's a lead in the customer operations department. I lead a team of about 10 advisors who answer emails and live chats for customers.
So customers who are trying to get the websites that you all – so do you all build the websites, or are you like the platform which other people then use to build their websites?
Yeah, it's like a DIY platform. So they have to build it, but then we help them, like if they have questions or they don't know how to do anything.
Got it, because I'm sure people are still figuring out the interface. And,
exactly.
And try to make it do certain things. Now, you said you head up a team of about 10 customer people. By the way, how big is your company?
I think we're at close to 500 at this point.
Gotcha. And you're in the New York area, right?
Correct.
Are the 500 people all in New York, or are you like a branch office?
They're separated out. So we have the majority of everything is in New York, and that includes our other departments like the engineers and designers and things. Mm-hmm. And then we have customer operations in Portland and also in Dublin.
Wow. Okay. And when you said you head up a team, so are you directly answering customer calls, or are you more like supervising everybody? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, how administrative versus how technical is your job?
Yeah. Now, in my role, I'm more so administrative. So my direct reports, they're the ones doing the answering, and I'm more making sure that they're doing their jobs well and seeing if they need anything to help them, you know, like, learn the system better or help our customers better.
Gus, you definitely have the technical skills.
Yeah, I did the original role for about almost 2 years before I was in my team lead role. So I used to answer emails and stuff as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, and I guess let's go quickly. You said you have another job?
Oh, yes. So the other job is I have my own small business. I'm a wedding photographer as well.
Very nice. So, do you mind sharing, like, we're talking now in 2017, like, let's say 2016, how many weddings did you photograph?
I think last year I did about 6.
Okay.
This year I'm slated for about 10, so it's kind of picking up more and more.
Not bad. And, hey, if you don't mind sharing, how much does it typically cost someone to get you out there to photograph their wedding?
I'm usually starting around like 2,500-ish.
Okay. It's not all profit, but 10 weddings is real money. So
you broke up a little bit there, so I didn't totally hear you.
I'm sorry. I just said that it's, you know, at that rate, 10 weddings is real money.
Oh, yeah, it's not too bad. It is a lot of work, though.
Sure. Actually, hey, let's talk a little more about your wedding thing, and then we'll get back into your other job.
So,
in terms of your wedding business, so really quickly, how long have you been doing that?
It's been about 3 years now.
Cool. And what got you into that?
So I had my first child about 3 years ago.
Oh,
and my wife wanted to stay home. Thank you. She wanted to stay home with the kids, which I was like, awesome, that's cool. So we decided, you know, we need another job, but she didn't want me to just, you know, get another regular job. She was like, you should start your own business. And I had actually tried to start a business before that with audio post-production.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really work out too well. So I found that I had another talent for photography, so I kind of just went down that road.
Gotcha. And how do you get your clients? Most people...
Word of mouth, internet stuff, internet services. There's a lot of different ways.
So is it like, by internet services, are you saying sort of like a subcontractor? Because I know places which sort of we'll send a photographer to your event, but then there, or do you just mean like you advertise your own business on the internet?
Yeah, I advertise a lot. There's also this service I use. It's fairly new. It's called Thumbtack. I've been using that for a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbtack's actually a pretty interesting service, which honestly, like any kind of service, I guess, could use.
Yeah.
But basically how it works, let's say if you needed a service like photography or someone to fix your sink or someone to teach you how to sing, you can go on a Thumbtack and say, I need X service, and then they'll send it out to their to the professionals. So like someone like me, and a bunch of us see it and we can put in a quote and say, I can do that thing for you for however much money.
Gotcha. So it says I need a wedding photographer. And you hop on it.
Exactly. And then I go, I can do it for this much money. And then we talk from there. And then at that point, Thumbtack is out of the picture. They basically just bring the people towards you.
I assume they get a small percentage.
So they don't get a percentage, actually, which is awesome, but you do have to pay for points. So it's like, to be able to send a quote to somebody, you have to spend points, and the points cost money.
Understood.
Yeah, so that's where they get their money.
Cool. And, like, how big a radius do you travel to do the weddings?
Pretty far. For the most part, I do stay in the New York area, but I don't charge at the moment. I don't charge my couples domestic travel. So like later on in the year, I have a wedding in Chicago. I've done weddings in North Carolina, which is where I'm from. I've done a wedding in Vermont. So I pretty much in the States, I'll go anywhere. I haven't been that many places, but I've been doing it so far.
Gotcha. And hey, well, I'll ask this about the other job, but just tell us, like, can you take us what it's like to photograph a wedding, kind of all the things? Because I'm sure that, you know, we've all been to weddings and we've all seen that photographer. But there's got to be stuff that's going through your minds that's not going through other people's minds when you're there at the wedding.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different things. Wedding photography, surprisingly, is mainly customer service and people skills, and the photography is probably like what you do the least of. After meeting a couple and, you know, meeting with them, making sure they like you, making sure you like them, booking them, getting all the payments, and then at the wedding day, keeping their timeline in mind and trying to capture stuff while adhering to the timeline as much as possible, which is not even something you can control. It just kind of happens. And then you're with the couple the whole time. So yet again, talking about customer service skills, you know, like if someone's bummed out or stressed out about something, you're usually the only vendor that's right there. You know, like the florist isn't there. The caterers aren't there. The day of planner may or may not be there. It's usually the photographers who's there with the couple when like everything, you know, all hell breaks loose. So you also have to keep people calm and happy. You take the photos, then you got to come home and edit them all. That takes time as well. Then deliver them and make books and stuff. So yeah, it's actually a lot of work.
Yeah, like hey, so for a typical wedding, how many hours of work are you putting in?
Ooh, so typical wedding is let's say 8 hours. Mm-hmm. You can add, let's say, an hour of travel time there and back.
Yep.
And then meeting with the couple, and this is either in person and or I like to do like Skype or FaceTime calls. You can add another maybe 2 hours of that, 3 hours maybe. Emailing back and forth is probably another like 2 hours, maybe more depending. Getting all the details and all that stuff. And then photo editing can take between 10 and 30 hours depending. So yeah, like one wedding can be a good like almost 50 hours of work.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So that $2,500 doesn't sound like quite the gold mine when you think, when you account for all the work you're doing.
Exactly.
So, but hey, what do you enjoy? Obviously, it is a job, and it's still for a side thing, pretty solid. What do you enjoy about doing the wedding photography?
I think I like the people side of it, and then also kind of like the direct creative outlet. So it's kind of like making music, even where you have maybe, let's say, a musical idea, and it comes to you, so you're excited. So you get it down, you record it, and then you have a finished song and it's there. So photography is kind of the same thing. Like, you see something, and you're like, this will be really awesome. I, like, see this happening. You take the photo, you edit it in post-production, get it to a finished product. So I like that, like, creative ideas and to the physical work it takes to do it and then having a finished product. I think that's what I like most about it.
Very cool. All right. And, hey, let's go back to your day job, so to speak. What's your title, by the way?
Team lead.
Team lead. Customer service.
Yeah, customer operations team lead.
Customer operations team lead. Very nice. As you said, you worked your way up from a regular customer relations representative, I assume, too.
Yeah.
What you are doing now. So, one question I have is, let's say, how many hours a week do you typically work there?
Usually 40 hours, give or take. Managers, which team leads are managers, don't get overtime. So sometimes there are things that come up, maybe like on the weekend or something, you have to put like 30 minutes or an hour in, but typically just 40 hours a week.
Oh, that's good. And sort of like what I asked about the weddings, could you take us through your typical day, or if the days vary too much, your typical week at work?
Mm-hmm. So my role is very administrative, since we're kind of managing a team. So the majority of like a day or even a week is like approving their timesheets and making sure they're, you know, working when they're supposed to. Sometimes you have to make changes to the timesheet if they made a mistake when they clocked in and out. Squarespace is really big on having one-on-ones with your advisors. So, you know, being able to sit down with your manager on a pretty regular basis. We do at least bi-weekly. I do weekly one-on-ones. So that's sitting down with my team members individually, you know, talking to them about how things are going, seeing how they're doing at the job, seeing how they feel, seeing if they're trying to move to a different position, how I could help them, if they have any projects that are away from the queue, as we call it, which is just, you know, the emails and the live chat, and, you know, sitting down with them in a one-on-one thing and kind of helping them through that. I do mine weekly. So for that, I have to prep for them as well, which is, you know, seeing what they're doing. I have a document where, you know, it's like, how have you been doing? Here's what your metrics look like. And the metrics are how we track how they're doing by the numbers. You know, how many chats did you do in a day? How fast did you do them? That kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And then there's also meetings. So there's manager meetings that we have with our managers as well to just talk about how overall the customer operations is going, things that we need to work on and change, any information coming from the top down that they need to give to us that we should be aware of. And then sometimes we have our own projects that we're doing. Like I recently did one that was a coaching kind of mentorship program that would help people who are newer to live chat be more comfortable with it. So kind of like overseeing that project and making sure it's going well and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, by the way, you said you head up a team of 10 people. How many teams are there like yours at Squarespace? Are you the one customer support team or the one of six? Or?
Yeah, there's a couple of us. In New York, there's only five of us, I believe. That's including me. We are actually the smallest customer service in the company now in New York.
Five of you meaning five teams.
Yeah. But, yeah, so five teams, five team leads. In Portland, I think they have like 10 or 12 team leads. I can't remember. They have a lot.
Wow. So when you said 500 employees, customer support is a pretty substantial fraction of Squarespace's workforce.
I think we're 250 or 300 customers. So like we make up the majority of the company.
Wow. I had no idea. So very cool. So anyway, you were to get back, you said you'd have meetings with other management, talk about your own projects and.
Yeah, and then that's pretty much a week because prepping for the one-on-ones and stuff take up the majority of the time, like just dealing with your team. We have to, like, approve if they, you know, want paid time off and if they're sick and all that stuff. We have to do that as well.
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a similar question about the weddings, which is definitely you sound cheerful talking about what you do. That's great. But could you articulate, you know, what is it that you enjoy about your job or at least your field?
I've always kind of been into customer service. I like helping people and I like teaching people. Something I actually started doing at Berkeley, which I wasn't even trying to, well, it was kind of at Berkeley, and then I left for a couple of years and came back. So in my time away from Berkeley, I started making YouTube tutorials on Ableton Live, which actually started kind of slightly getting big. Like, I had a fair amount of followers. So the fact that I chose to just randomly make online tutorial videos, and this was before YouTube was, like, the main source of information. So I was literally just doing it to do it. I wasn't like, I'm going to become YouTube famous. I like showing people how to use platforms.
Okay. Cool. So you enjoy that, yeah. That is almost a teaching type thing.
Yeah.
And that you said that joy is just sort of carried right over, even if you're now in a more administrative role.
Exactly, because now I'm directly coaching my advisors, and it's like, I've been in your role, I can help you out and give you ideas of how to better do it.
Gotcha. That's great. Okay, so let's take it back to 2010 or a little earlier. You started talking about making these Ableton software help videos. But I'd like to sort of hear your full path from, you know, being at Berkeley to what you're doing now. Because, I don't mean, were you thinking customer support team lead when you were at Berkeley?
Oh, no, not at all. sure, well, sure. I'll take you on a long journey
story.
So I started at Berkeley in 2003. That's when I graduated from high school. So I moved from North Carolina to Boston.
Okay.
Got into Berkeley. And I think that was around when they first started the laptop program and all that stuff. It's like way back in the day.
Yeah.
So I got into music synthesis, and I was like, wow, this is cool. Doing synthesis, and at the time, synth and MPME were really close. So a lot of the classes were the same. And I think I didn't take some of the classes that should have been, like, the first earlier classes. Okay. So what happened was when they started trying to slowly separate MPME and synth and not have all their classes kind of the same, it actually added, like, a semester or so to my curriculum.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't take those early classes, so I actually ended up running out of money. So I left, went back to North Carolina, and just had like 2 years of literally doing nothing. But in that time, I ended up getting a job at Apple because I fell in love with Apple computers at Berkeley because the laptop program was all Apple computers.
Uh-huh.
So got a job at Apple, cool.
Like at the Apple store? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, was selling, or I spoke to someone recently who was a, quote, genius at Apple.
Yeah, I was doing selling, and then I was also, at the time, Apple was doing, like, they do in-store workshops, and they used to do what they called one-on-ones, where, like, you could pay to have someone train you on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing that as well. So that was a store in North Carolina.
Yep.
And then I got fed up with doing nothing, and I was like, I need to finish school. So I used Apple to get me back to Boston, so I transferred stores and worked at one of the Boston stores. Okay. So that helped me get back to Berkeley. And then I was full-time Apple, part-time Berkeley.
Oh, wow.
Did the couple of semesters I needed to and finished. So that's where 2010 came from.
Gotcha.
All in that time, I was still at Apple.
Understood.
So after that, I wanted to do more audio engineering now that I was done. So I was like, well, Boston's not really the best place for this. So I left and went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And in New York, I actually ended up getting a job at an audio post-production studio. So we were working on commercials, TV shows, stuff like that. I did that for
And you were doing
four-ish.
The audio production itself as opposed to like an administrative role there.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't do as much production work as I would like to. The studio kind of had me as like the coffee boy for like my whole tenure there, basically. Even when I was like 3 years deep of being there, I was still kind of the coffee boy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I've heard stories like yours. You're not the first.
Yeah, so I ended up leaving because it was just it was pretty bad, and the place specifically I worked at, like, the way they just handled, like, management, so it just wasn't a good time, so I left.
Hey, do you mind sharing, I don't ask about current pay, but do you mind sharing what you were being paid at the studio?
Oh, yeah, if I can remember, I think I got up to maybe $20 an hour at most.
And were you working pretty close to 40 hours a week, or?
Probably more. And then I was still at Apple because I forgot I used Apple to move from Boston to New York as well because I transferred stores.
Oh, I'm seeing benefits to working at Apple.
Yeah, it was really awesome. So yeah, I was at Apple and working a minimum of maybe 10 hours, if even. And that was a stretch because they usually don't let you do that. So that was me like giving shifts to other people and calling out every now and then. And then at the studio, I was doing probably like 50 to 60 hours.
So you're making okay both money, of the, but you're working your tail off.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff at the studio, yet again, was like running tapes across the city to like MTV or it was a lot. I wasn't really sitting down hands-on with the audio as much as I would have liked to. So then I decided I'm going to get more serious about the audio and quit Apple. But then the studio was treating me horribly, so I quit the studio and I didn't have a job.
And I sorry, just and then to back here, we're talking like 2013 or 2014?
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably like 2013 at that point.
Gotcha.
And then at that point, so I quit both my jobs. I had no job. I was freaking out for like a month. I almost moved to California, but a friend of mine was like, hey.
This time?
Was I married?
Yeah.
No, not yet. But my girlfriend, who also went to Berkeley, actually, we both took your class. You probably still remember, maybe.
I thought your name looked familiar.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember Bonnie Ho.
That name.
Or Bonita Ho.
Oh, Bonita.
Is familiar. Yeah.
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 Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we got married. We have lovely kids now.
All right, that's great. Did you meet in my class?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. We took it.
Oh, man. I was going to chalk up myself as a matchmaker there.
So, yeah, 2013-ish, quit both my jobs. A friend of mine hit me up and was like, hey, I work for this really awesome tech startup, Squarespace, and we're starting to hire. You should come on over. This was someone I knew from Apple. And she left early and went there, and they were looking to hire a bunch of people.
So, I'm sorry, I think I just missed. You said the friend just kind of called you up one day.
Yeah, she just hit me up and was like, you really need to come here. And I was like, yes, because I don't have a job.
Okay.
So I got to Squarespace.
I'm sorry, can you ask quickly, how did you know this friend?
I knew her from Apple.
So it's an old coworker from the Apple store.
Yep.
Perfect. Continue. So she's like, you got to come over here. And was that...
Yeah, so I went to Squarespace and... Everything was like, it just fell into place because I've been doing Apple for so long, so it was like, cool. So now I'm at Squarespace.
And that was at, like, and, as a support technician, right?
Yeah. So answering emails. They didn't really have live chat at that point, but... So I did that. Was good at it. They started doing live chat, kind of. Mm-hmm. They were like, you're good, do live chat. So I started doing live chat. I did great at that. They're like, you're awesome at live chat. And at one point, they're like... We want you to be a shift lead of live chat, so kind of like a more senior live chatter who doesn't chat as much. You just kind of oversee how everyone's chatting.
Yep.
And then from that, they kind of reorganized the structure of the customer operations. And that's when they added in team leads. And they're like, yeah, we'd like you to be a team lead. So I was like, awesome.
That's great. Then work your way up.
So. Exactly. Here, hold on. Give me one quick second.
It's all good. It's always fun chatting with people who took my class once upon a time.
All right, sorry.
Yep, no worries.
So, yeah, and then that's where I am today.
That's great. How long have you been the...
Team lead for a couple...
I'm sorry, you broke up.
How long have I been at Squarespace?
How long have you been a team lead?
I've been a team lead for about 2 years. I've been at Squarespace for 4 years.
Awesome. That's great. So, and... again, I won't ask card numbers, but kind of how big a pay bump was it to go from, you know, regular support to team lead?
It was fairly big. The company, so at first when I started, customer operations wasn't salaried. We all did hourly work.
Gotcha.
When they reorganized, they made everybody salaried. So everybody at Squarespace is salaried, like even the customer operations department, which is awesome. God, I think I went from like 40K. I'm at like 63 or 4-ish now.
Oh, that's great. That's solid.
Yeah.
That's very solid. It's actually, that and your wedding, Steph? You're doing well.
What was that?
I just said between that and your weddings, you're doing quite well.
Oh, yeah, and the company, they are very, like, new age tech, so they pay for your insurance, and they have really good insurance. I would know because I had two kids, and they were both free. We paid no hospital bills at all. We have lunch every day, free lunch, and they cook it. They have cooks in the office.
Oh, wow.
And PTO, and there's a bunch of other, like, benefits. So a lot of times when they, like, let's say I get a raise or something.
Yeah.
They send you an email confirming the raise.
Uh-huh.
And then in the email, they also kind of break it down for you. So they're like, yeah, okay, you may be making 60K, but keep in mind, because we pay for your health and we feed you every day and you have all these nice snacks, it's more like you were making 80K.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, that's true.
Very true. Excellent. All right. We'll move on to the third part of the interview of three. So now there's no right or wrong answer to this, but currently, what is your relationship with music?
I do not play as much as I would like to. Mm-hmm. Not only have I been on a writer's block, but at this point, photography has been taking up the majority of my time.
Right.
I used to, because I had that YouTube channel, I would still do tutorials off and on every now and then. Mm-hmm. And my followers actually, like, appreciate, they would come back and be like, oh, man. They're like, this dude's back from the dead, like, 2 years later. It was kind of funny. So I would do kind of that, but it's been like another 2 or 3 years since the last time I made a video. So,
sure, well,
however, I do still have a desk set up with a keyboard on it and everything. And I still have my, like, you know, my DAWs I can use to make music and stuff. I still have my saxophone that I play every now and then when I get a chance. But, you know, New York living in apartments and stuff, like, you can't play an instrument because people are mad that you're making so much noise, basically.
Gotcha. So, sort of like, and when you do play, is it just sort of like personal, like playing for yourself or your family?
Are you? Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very good. Hey, look, with your two kids and two jobs, I'm frankly happy you have time to do this interview. Okay, so next question I have for you is, I'd like you to think back to your Berkeley experience and think back to what you're doing now and both jobs. And you know, relative to if you'd gone to some other college, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for either or both of the jobs you're doing today?
I actually don't think much. I know I did have a job while I was at Berkeley where I kind of like ran disk utility stuff on all the studios. I think that might have helped out some.
You mean just giving you a little tech experience?
It gives us the freedom to, because you could like rent the studios mm-hmm. and like do your own projects in there.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that might have been kind of the beginning of even kind of my mindset and how I do photography, because I'd have to get people together and see if they wanted to record a song, and then I'd write a song for them, and then bring them in, record it, edit it, mix it. And it was like my own projects. This was like aside from Berkeley.
Okay.
Now I feel like everything I did outside of that also kind of felt like photography feels like so it was for me to do this other stuff, it felt more natural. I wasn't like, whoa, how do I even like manage doing my own projects basically?
Gotcha. So experience in magic projects. Very cool. All right. That's it. We're good, though. Then let's turn that question around. Because, obviously, you just noted you've done quite well. But when you think back, and of course, Berkeley gives that one degree, a bachelor's in music. But when you think back to your Berkeley experience, is there anything where you say, it would have been really useful if they'd have taught this to me, and they could have, and they didn't? Anything you feel is like missing or inadequate in your education?
I think for what they were teaching us, I don't think there was too much missing. I think too, some of it can be like a person to person type of thing, like a personal where like some people may have not had the same type of drive to make things happen. And when you don't have that, I think you kind of miss the girth of like what Berkeley can give you. 'Cause at that time, like I didn't really have the drive to be doing kind of like how I'm working now, where it's like I have two jobs and I started my own business. Like I wasn't at that place. But if I was at Berkeley, it would have been a totally different story. I think maybe if they concentrated on maybe sharing stories of people who like put in the extra work or how the extra work can make a difference, at least put it in students' faces more often.
Okay.
That might have helped.
Gotcha. No, good answer. All right, so looking back, now of course you did end up working at a studio for a number of years, even if you weren't, getting as heavy into the music as hoped. Then you shifted over to this. It sounds like you've really found a great niche. But so, did the music thing for a while, you'd always been at the Apple Store, kind of, and then let's say that thread kind of became your main thing. And you've been on a really good path for the last 4 years. I'm sure you're aware that there are some other recent Berkeley grads who haven't yet found that path, who maybe are like you, and after you left those two jobs, you were like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And even people perhaps in their last year at Berkeley staring out at the big scary world and wondering what they're going to be doing. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
For advice for the person who just left Berkeley and doesn't have a job, or for someone who is just about to leave, I would say a couple of things. One off is it's hard. This is super big picture, but when people talk about finding what you love, I would say go further than finding what you love and find the about what you love. And what I mean in that is, so something I was talking about earlier was how I like kind of the creative process where you have an idea, you put in work for the idea, and you have a finished product that you can see. So photography's like that, music's like that, art's like that. You can say, I want these type of paints, this type of canvas, these type of brushes, paint it like this, put in the work, and then have a finished picture that you can look at. So like for an example of what I mean, find the about what you love. That's my about. And it can transcend a bunch of different mediums, technically, which is why I can do customer service and not be like, oh, this sucks that I'm not doing music, because I still kind of have that same creative process. With customer service, it's a little different. The idea is the person having a problem. The work is you helping them figure that problem out so that they can do the work for themselves. And then the end goal is seeing a person who accomplished something and you being like, yeah, I helped that. Or even like when I was in the studio, I wasn't doing music. That was audio post-production, but it's the same thing. It's just like mixing. So you have this commercial where the sound's crap and you have to add sound effects and mix it. And then you have this finished thing. So I would say find the about for what you love. Because people say it all the time, oh, do what you love and you'll be happy. And it's like, that's great, but you can't always do what you love. Like, I had absolutely no idea that I would be doing photography as well as I'm doing. But I, like, back in the Berkeley days, like, I liked photos and I would kind of snap whatever. But it's the about that led me to be like, I can actually do photography and just learn about it. And I love the process, the about. And then I would also say is that there's, and in this day and age, there's a lot of opportunities that you can make for yourself. And we've seen it now with like the Twitters and Facebooks of the world. It's like all these barely 30-year-old, like multimillionaires, just because they had an idea for something. And that spans wide. Like, you may not, you know, be the next Facebook or Instagram, but you can still make a really good living going outside of the typical, like, let me go get a job and sit down for 9 hours or flip burgers for 9 hours or, you know, whatever it is you're going to do. Like, there's a lot of opportunities. You really just have to make them. Yeah, I think that would be my advice.
Gotcha. That's great advice. And let's see, I think so you'll be in there by a technical support supervisor. That was in my list of interviews. So, you know, you're something like my 83rd interview.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. So you, I'm sure you can imagine very few people are going to listen to all 83. And
yeah.
The people, but it's all indexed by careers there at otherberkeleygrads.com. And the people who are listening to this interview are the ones who are like, oh, you know, tech support supervisor, at least tech support. Hey, that sounds kind of interesting. Let me catch what that's all about. So for anyone thinking about a career in that, do you have any specific advice for them?
I feel like just starting yourself in any kind of place where you're helping somebody is a great place. Like, get into something and then help others with it. So that's kind of the same way as I was talking about my YouTube stuff. Like, I really loved Ableton and I wanted to share with people how I used it. So I was like, this is what I do. Or I really loved Apple computers, so I wanted to share with people how I use them and how they can use them. And it just keeps rolling. I really loved Squarespace and website building, so I shared with people how to – and you can do that with anything. So if you have a very, like, open mindset to I want to help somebody learn something that I'm into, going into the customer service role is great. And then for leading – because you can get into customer service and then just be a general customer service person forever. For leading, you just have to show that you're basically the best of the best and also can handle different aspects. So not even that you're just the best at customer service and the fastest at it, but that you, you know, when things change, that you don't freak out and can't handle it. Or when a customer has an attitude, you're not like losing your mind and totally pissed off at them and then you're yelling at a customer. So just kind of being able to roll with the punches, really. That's in a customer service, especially tech world, startup. If you can't roll with the punches, you won't become like a team lead or a manager.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, only have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic and you're being recorded. So is there anything we missed? Anything you'd like to say?
No. That's been my Berkeley journey. It was fun. I need to go back down there and see the new building. Cause I keep hearing about it.
it's very impressive. Yeah, the studios in there are state of the art.
Oh my goodness.
By the way, I'm totally
Maybe they'll let me.
remembering your wife, Bonnie. Tell her I said hi. I totally actually remember her being like, yeah, my boyfriend took this class a couple years back, and I think bringing out
Yeah,
the phone and
exactly.
showing me your picture. So I'm putting it together now. Yeah,
Yep,
she had
that's.
like a couple friends that they were like, she was quite a character. I enjoyed her presence a lot. But I remember too that you too. I was like, yeah, John Branch. I swear I had it. Very cool. So it's great to reconnect, and I really enjoyed this conversation. You said some had some really profound stuff to say. So
awesome, thank you. And yeah, you were one of the few teachers I really remember at Berkeley. So keep doing a great job.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, look for a message from me in the very near future.
Awesome.
All right, have a great evening.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.